Hi there, I'm Viv Joynes and welcome to episode 7 of the Live Beyond podcast. For those of you who haven't listened in before, this podcast is about people who really step outside of their comfort zones, push their limits and achieve things that they never really thought possible. It's really people that inspire me and hopefully will inspire you too. So during this episode, I chat to Nan and Monica, an amazingly awesome woman I met a couple of years ago. It's a really multifaceted conversation where we chat about life, its curveballs, running, kamikaze running, and creating community, and in particular, a global women's running community that she co-founded called Vault Women. She's an amazing life juggler, she's a mom, she's a career professional, and she tells her story in a really open and honest way. She's an amazing example of somebody who gives things a go and also somebody who uses running as a vehicle for positive social change. I love her approach to life. I love her positive energy and enthusiasm for life. And I really hope you enjoy this conversation. Hey, Nana.
Hi.
Thanks so much, first of all, for being on the episode. It's amazing to have you on. I'm really excited to have Nana on because she's generally just an awesome person. And I met Nana, I think, for the first time about 3 years ago, though I don't know whether she knows, because I went to run a half marathon in Copenhagen, where she lives. And my running crew kind of went and visited their running crew, and they hosted us with amazing food in I think Nana's offices actually. So yeah. that was really amazing. But I'm not sure we met properly. And then in I think it was 2014 April, we both went to run the Palestine Marathon called Right to Movement, and kind of got chatting there. And that was just a very profound and awesome experience at the same time.
I think we met halfway through when we were both kind of dying in the sun.
I had a bit of a rough time during that one, to be honest. It was not easy, but really it was so fascinating, kind of running through refugee camps and really amazing. And then we just kind of stayed in touch, and she was incredibly supportive when I was off doing my Viv Runs Europe adventure. And really sweetly, I think, was the only person that realised that it had been a year since I finished, just over a week ago, and wrote this little note. And I was like, oh, that's just so beautiful. So that was really lovely. But just to give you a bit of an intro to Nana. So Nana is mum to two beautiful boys. She's visual communications director at an innovation strategy consultancy. And I kind of define her as kind of a life lover, runner, founder of a movement called Vault Women, master life juggler. but what I love about Nana is that, particularly as a runner, she obviously has her own kind of objectives, but I think uses it as a real vehicle for kind of positive change. To inspire others and to create community, which I think is really special. So I thought I'd start with a bit of a deep one and just ask kind of what running sort of means and represents to you, if that's all right.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I can definitely say yes to all of the stuff that you just introduced and which also leads to that question, because running does really represent new life for me. And I think I started kind of late in my life running. And I was 34. I just turned 41 now. So I started late, and I never really ran before. And for me, it has two different major themes. One is, this is the first thing where I felt I could set a goal and then push through and accomplish in a sort of a little miniature world in itself. And that gave me these little successes that I really needed, because everything else in my life at the time was super chaotic and so big, and like huge life questions. So to have these little practical runs that I set out to do 3K, and then I ran 3K, and then I felt good. It was so simple, but it meant so much to me at the time. So that on one hand, it was sort of this a solution to these little practical. I had a boss who used to say, when I looked at her and sighed and talked about big issues in life, she said, practical solutions for emotional distress.
Oh,
and
I like that.
Running, yeah, and I really like that. And I'm not a big fan of motivational quotes, but this one has sort of stayed with me for a long time, and I really like it. And I use it as a guideline in my own life and with my with my kids too, you know. So on one hand, running became that little practical solution. On the other hand, that fed into a huge change in my life. So all those little runs became that one big run that made me, or was a part of making me able to change my life, actually.
Okay.
And I don't want to sound, it's hard not to sound like some Scientology or something like that. Like running, I don't want to make running more than it is. But I think putting one leg in front of the other and making those little practical solutions had a huge impact on a much deeper level.
Yeah, I sort of want to say, I think there's two things that you said which are really nice about that. I think, because I think often people see this kind of running community and see everybody running marathons and ultra marathons and doing these huge things. And to be fair, like a lot of the previous episodes have been about people doing quite extraordinary, like huge distances. But actually, we all start from doing 3 kilometres and putting those small goals in front of ourselves and making it achievable, and then pushing it a bit and pushing it a bit. And it's kind of by that that I guess, I don't know, we kind of push ourselves in ways that we probably didn't really know that we probably could. And then, I can definitely relate to the kind of emotional distress and having somewhere to focus your energy, I suppose, which, one, allows you to get through things sometimes. It doesn't have to be running, it could be anything, but also, as you said, kind of has positive things that come out of it. But were you, at that time, were you kind of running on your own, or had you already found a group to run with?
Yeah, I started out running on my own. I had a really good friend who used to do track and field, and we had this more, I think for all my running, running for me is still a practical thing, but it's also like a meta kind of endless discussion around the benefits and motivations and how to engage people in that. It's really important for me too. And the thing was, I felt that was important even when I didn't run myself.
Okay.
You know? And so she was setting up working with sports and running, and we started talking about how to motivate people. And the thing was, I wasn't at all motivated myself. I famously used up 3 pairs of running shoes without even running. So we had this more like an intellectual discussion about how to engage people and how to motivate. And the thing was that I felt I needed some feedback for, you know, I needed to feel the progress, and I also really needed someone to pat me on the back and saying, good work, you know?
Yeah.
And that was hard for me. At the time, I didn't know how simple an act that is and how powerful it is, you know, to just say, hey, I see you. I see how crazy it is. You know, I felt, or even someone who said, well, my first kilometer was a pain in the ass as well, you know? So we had that discussion, and based on that, I started running. I put on my 4th pair of running shoes, and I was on vacation with my family, and I just went out on my first 500 meter.
Amazing.
I wouldn't even call it running. I think it was like crawling. And then over the course of 2 weeks, I learned to run 3K. That was my
amazing.
You know, I didn't even know what my goal was, but and that pretty quick went into a 5K run. And I was running on my own at the time. And then she worked with this group called Enbo Running in Copenhagen, now famous for speedy runs and hosting all these Bridge the Gap events and stuff. But at the time, it was a small group of really enthusiastic guys and hardly any women.
Okay.
And by chance and luck, I met them in Berlin for one of the first Bridge the Gap.
Okay.
And
just
I was invited.
Just very quickly,
yeah.
Just to explain what Bridge the Gap is.
Oh, yeah.
So the
international running community meeting up somewhere in the world each year, sometimes in several places.
It's a big party.
Yeah, to run and have a huge party afterwards. They're really famous, the parties.
Yeah.
And I didn't run. I actually photographed the runners. And so I spent the whole race photographing, which is also, I mean, for another interview, one of my passions. And you know, my work as well as a, you know, visual communicator.
Yeah.
But I went to the party. And I promised myself I would never party like that again without running too. So that's where I promised myself to do a half marathon.
Okay.
And
which one did you do?
And this was Berlin 2012.
Okay.
And then I promised myself that I would do it the year after.
Mm-hmm.
But engaging with all these people, I also started to talking to people in New York, started running with the Enbo guys back home in Copenhagen, finding ways to join them even though I wasn't as fast as them. And so already in that autumn, I was in New York for work and met up with some of the people that I met in Berlin. And I jumped, my longest run at the time was 12K,
mm-hmm.
And I ran 32K with them.
Wow.
I just, yeah, literally had all the excuses not to go on one of their long runs. They were doing my marathon training.
Yeah.
And was still faffing around in my little 3-5Ks, and I did one 10K. And then they were doing a 20-mile run, and
yeah.
I joined them.
That's
and
a pretty crazy thing to do.
It's very crazy. That's where the term, I found the term kamikaze running, which I've done several times. Like, my first marathon was a bit the same because of family and work, I don't have time to train as much as I want to. I ran a 100K race this summer, 2015, with no long runs as training for it.
If anyone can see my face, I'm slightly surprised.
I ran a 100K race after running only like little 5 and 8K runs, but a lot of them, right? But not, I did only one long run that spring.
Okay, can I just ask how that went?
It went really well.
Okay.
I mean, my goal was to finish, and I hadn't, yeah. This, it's a good example of my energy, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I wanted to go because Sarah Walsh, who's a fantastic woman, set up a group called Women Run 100
mm-hmm.
to help this race called Race to the Stone that she, a little bit by chance, won the year before.
Yeah, amazing.
She's
I know she was on
a
previous
runner.
Episode.
Yeah, so she's this amazing, oh yeah, of course. She's an amazing runner, and she organized to engage loads of women to run this race.
Yeah.
And I wanted to join, and her energy sort of sparked my enthusiasm around it, right? And there were training plans and stuff, and I, of course, my life was just like, you know?
Master juggler.
It's, yeah, exactly. And I was on vacation, and I had my kids alone. I had them alone for most of the year last year, and it wasn't possible for me to do these long runs.
Yeah.
And I still went. I didn't really tell anyone because I knew it was kind of crazy, but I just wanted to go, and my thoughts around it was, I will run it like 10 times 10K.
Okay.
And I will not believe that I'm going to finish before I do 70K.
Okay.
At the 70K mark, this is where I can allow myself to start to believe. The rest is for chance, and let's see what happens, you know? I bought my running bag. You know, the little rucksack
yeah.
thing with the hydration? I bought it the day before. You know, all the stuff that you're not supposed to. Because I came back from vacation, and then I just had to go. And I had some very... Because of this whole running community, it's almost like I can jump out from any building, and there will be this carpet of this soft landing no matter where I am. It's really amazing to have all these people who are so motivating and inspiring around me.
Positive
energy, and it really means that before I started running, I was kind of afraid to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone that I know now would describe me as someone who is afraid of anything.
No.
But I was, you know, there was a lot of stuff, new stuff that I held myself back from. And I think it's not just the running that proved to me that I can do things.
Yeah.
It's also being around all these amazing people. So I had a running partner for the 100K.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Munich. She used to live with me a couple of months in Copenhagen. And she's a dear friend, and we just decided to do it together. And on the way, I met several people that I knew and ended up running with them. So,
amazing.
Which is, and around 70K, this is not a lie, I was jumping like a mountain goat.
You're probably the only one jumping like a mountain goat.
It's crazy. It was almost like for every 10K, I was generating more energy than I was using up.
Wow.
And I also think that if I was to do it again, I could definitely run it faster. I can cut down time. There's something about the brakes that you can utilize in a different way. You know, everything can be due. I can put a functional layer over it. But this was pure test of energy. And I love running downhill.
Okay.
It's the perk. And I really let myself go when I run downhill. And I don't even think about it, because as you can hear, I'm a kamikaze runner. I'm not a technical runner. But I love it, and I think my technique is pretty okay. I don't know. But
well,
it works.
If you're not hurting yourself doing it,
no,
doing kamikaze, then presumably...
And I let go. It's not a very hilly. It's like rolling hills,
okay.
the course. But sometimes you have these smooth downhills that went on for like 2 kilometers. Or
wow.
Maybe, and you ran every centimeter of this course. Is gorgeous. You run from one place to the other, 100K in a straight line on a ridge, and you have this spectacular view that changes all the time, and there's a little bit of forest running, but you're high, you're running, you know, closer to the clouds, right? And you can hear, like, I get high from just talking about it. And the light was so beautiful. I'm a super visual person. So I take it in, like, I fuel from this, you know, aesthetic journey it is as well, right? And we were running downhill, and I could feel Katerina, she fell in around 25 kilometers, so she was moving a little bit more cautiously. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, I was like, you need to try this downhill. You need to really let go so you can hit. And she picked up speed, and everyone, Luke from Rundin, who in London, and this girl Barbara from Energy Lab, we were running together, the four of us, and everybody just let go, and it was so beautiful.
Sounds very exhilarating, and being like a child, actually, just letting go.
I was running, shouting, downhill, baby! that was my thing. And at 70K, I just remember we were on the top of a hill, and I looked to the sky, and it was getting darker, right? And I knew that I had 30K left, and I really felt at the time that I could just set off and just run all the way back, you know? Like, I had this feeling, this complete empowered feeling, maybe even more than when I finished, because this was almost like that was my goal, to have the feeling that I could look ahead and see that I could accomplish this, right? And the last 10K, we were in the dark, and I had a lamp on, mm-hmm. and the course was so rugged, so I couldn't run. And at the time, we were splitting up a bit, and I was running or walking next to Luke. And we looked at the time, and we could see that we could actually finish just before midnight, and that became a goal for us. And the last 5K, we sprinted.
Wow.
We did a sprint finish for 100K. And I must say, I sat down afterwards, and I was hungry, but I was so happy. And it was just such a magnificent feeling. And then everybody was there waiting for us. Like, Saul had been waiting for fucking 6 hours, you know? She had been waiting after finishing second.
Wow.
She was waiting to cheer everybody, you know, all the women. And,
That's so supportive.
It was an amazing feeling. And I think each year I sort of experience new stuff that makes me stronger in all kinds of ways.
Do you, because I think what's really beautiful about what you just said is one, the way you kind of broke it down into these, again, these kind of manageable chunks, but also just the power of the mind, because I don't think there are many people that would go and kamikaze run 100 kilometres, and I'm not really sure we should promote it actually, as an approach, because, just the fact that you can do that and not kind of hurt yourself, I think is pretty phenomenal. Yeah. But equally, yeah, just, I don't know, that's just deciding that you're going to do it and then just going for it. And I think that's something that's pretty amazing. But how do you...
I must say there's one thing in terms of not promoting.
Yeah.
If I had injured myself on the way, you know, if I had a sprained ankle or something like that, I would not run it. You know,
like, okay, I
think I've never tried that, but I tried a couple of times. You know, I also have like a negative side to my running. Sometimes I stop and, you know, I'm too hard on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I'm this overpowering positive mind all the time.
Okay.
I definitely have challenges as well. But in this case, I also felt like I was lucky that nothing was hurting too much, or, you know, I didn't, 3 days after I was in high heels at work, you know, like it was one of those, it was a kind of a magic moment as well, right? And this is not to be a disclaimer, I really feel like I have this very positive mindset around it, but I don't want it to sound like I'm always this cheerful kamikaze runner. Sometimes I mess it up, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I stop halfway through a race and, you know, just like want to just stop and walk out and never run again.
Or, yeah.
What I did after the 100K was that because I ran so much that month, July I ran 250K.
Okay.
And so I trained, I set myself a new challenge, which was not the race itself. I wanted to run the Berlin Marathon, but the real challenge was to train for it.
Okay.
So changing and not being the kamikaze runner, but actually putting in the work. Right?
Yeah.
And that I had help with Knox Robinson in New York, who's a running coach there, and he was sort of helping me do a proper training for it.
Because you do quite a lot of core work and things.
Yeah,
to complement the running.
Yeah, but that's that's a new thing.
Okay.
All these things flow really intuitively. So around November, I just felt like something new, you know? And as I know that I need the two elements. I need to motivate myself, but I also need to have the motivation of others.
Mm-hmm.
So I started planking.
Okay.
I was like, I'm not going to the gym every day, as we already established. My life is just not like that. I do have a gym membership, and I started using it a little bit, but I planked every day 3 minutes for 2 months, and set up really basically, you know, really easy setup in Instagram group.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we just write every day, I've been planking, you know?
So it's like an accountability thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's fun because it's women all around the world. And it was just those who were interested. And I kind of forgot about it over Christmas. And then January has been a little... And the other day, I just looked at myself and I was like, okay, you need to get back on the planking. And it really makes a difference.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good. And 3 minutes, I mean, come on. It's 3 minutes is nothing.
But yeah, it's true.
It's still hard sometimes to find the time, or sometimes I forget. And one night I woke up at 1 o'clock and I was like, shit, I forgot to plank. And then I was like, I need to do this, because if I'm the initiator of this group, I need to do it, right? So, and that has sort of sparked more interest in building my core.
Okay.
I actually posted a picture the other day where it looks like I have a six pack. And I was thinking about it because I'm not a fitness girl. Like, come on. I gave birth to 2 boys. And it's not every day that a six-pack is even visible. And I think actually 2 upper bulks are actually my ribs and not muscles at all. But I'm also really proud of the work that I'm doing with my body.
You know? Mm.
And this is not... I'm not building muscle to make it look good, it's a benefit as well, to feel good.
Yeah.
And to be in a better shape now at 40 than I was when I was 20. Yeah.
So when you said, first of all, I suppose, how did Berlin go?
Yeah, it went well.
Okay.
It went
well. Cool.
And I did all the mistakes, you know. It was my third marathon, but I did all the rookie mistakes. I looked at my times the other day too, And I started out way too fast and felt really crappy around 27 kilometers. Just, you know, it's just exactly where you need the wall.
Yes.
Had to slow down, had breathing problems and whatever. But I finished in 3 hours and 53.
Amazing.
It was good. My goal was 3:45, and it was a very, very ambitious goal. So, I cut 30 minutes off my PB, and
awesome.
It worked, you know?
Like, yeah, training works.
Training works. I felt it was harder to run a fast, you know, in quotation marks, but a faster marathon is definitely harder than doing the 100K in the way that I did.
Oh, really? Oh, that's really interesting. But what you were saying earlier about, yeah, that you used to be, I didn't pick up on it at the time, but that you used to be kind of scared of doing things, and running has given you the ability to kind of not be so scared because you're constantly overcoming the barriers that you kind of think that you face.
Yes.
And you also said earlier that you felt that it had transformed your life. Do you want to talk a bit about the transformation side of things that maybe isn't running related, actually? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's not running related. I think some of it, it's always hard to know. Is it running? Is it age? You know?
Yeah.
There's definitely a flow of events when you suddenly turn 40, where you look at your life in a different way, where you sort of look back and look ahead and stretch time in different ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started running, I was also in a divorce after almost 20 years of living together with someone. So this has also been a journey. It can sound very poetic, but a journey of into yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? To discover myself alone, what it feels like being alone, living alone. You know, I've been with someone from I was 19.
Okay.
Suddenly, when I was 38, I was standing there, you know, with kind of no experience, you know.
Mm.
I don't think I even had a mobile phone when I was 19, you know. Like, life is freaking different. And it's not like I haven't explored life. But when you're in a relationship, when you have kids and work and a mortgage and, you know, living an adult life is in a way a box, right? And suddenly having time to look out and not feel life only as a unit, but everything is really raw when mm-hmm. you're alone, has been a really challenging and very sort of life-changing experience. I think in some ways I'm experiencing some of the raw feelings that everybody else goes through when they're in the early 20s.
Yeah.
Like, it for me it's just now, so it's a delayed action in a way.
Yeah, but I think that's really special because it's interesting because you've got the running and achieving things that you are continually pushing your goals, and that's quite empowering. But equally, probably in your personal life, going from a couple to then realizing that you have all this responsibility, I don't know, with kids and everything, and then you keep achieving things in that as well. And it sounds like they both create this nice, I know there's huge challenges at times, but also it's quite empowering. These both things happening that you realize that you're actually capable of it, and it's just you.
Oh,
and
but and back to when we started talking before we even recorded, I talked about my three lives, right?
Yeah.
I have the running life and the development there. I have my work life and how I push that and develop there too. And then I have my family life, you know, as a mother, how can I be the best mother, you know? Like I told you, I overslept this morning. I found myself making bacon and lunch boxes, and my son said, but I need to be in school in 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, shit, what happened? You know, so I need to, you know, you cannot be perfect everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, I think that's one of the perks of being older, is that I'm not striving for perfection. I know that perfection is not achievable, but to do stuff, you know, to act, all those practical solutions, right?
Yeah.
That's what moves you forward. And so those three platforms need to definitely feed each other as well, right?
Yeah.
If I, the weeks where I have my kids, I don't run as much. If I, on that week when I do just one, like this week, I've done only one run,
mm-hmm.
then I feel great because I feel like I achieved to also have some time on my own, get shit done, you know. But I also know that I need to be there and spend more time with the kids and be available for them on those weeks. Right?
Yeah, I think that's really beautiful. And when you were saying earlier, I think what's coming back to this juggling thing, so you've got these three lives, but you actually have more lives than that,
yeah.
Because you spent, you said earlier that you wanted to motivate other people, and I think that's awesome. So if we can, I'd like to come to this community that you created called Vault Women.
Yes.
And I'm just really interested because I've followed it, I think, pretty much since the beginning. I'm not sure how long it's been going now. It must be over 2 years, is it?
Yeah, just over 2 years.
Yeah. And so I'll let you explain what it is. But I'm just really interested in just how this idea came about, because it's got a huge following and it's grown massively.
Yeah.
And it's really powerful and genuinely inspiring. So, yeah, great to learn more.
Well, thank you. And actually, your journey was just perfect to tell that story on the Vault Women platform.
Thank you.
Well, it all came about as anything really in my life. I think I need to have it like a little seed that grows with me. Something, it stems from a need or something that's missing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things was I have all these conversations with different people. We talk about all kinds of things. Like some I run with, some I have intellectual conversations about running, some stuff is about life and parenting and whatever. But one of the conversations was that I was having actually with a bunch of women was this idea that when we go to the track, first of all, I love running track. And how did that come about? I mean, how did a, you know, 30-something woman suddenly start to push herself doing 200-meter track work and actually doing pretty okay, you know?
Yeah.
But when I was on the track, and even if I was loving it and it was going really well, I could see that the guys, they had this ability to push themselves beyond the control point.
Okay.
And this was one of the, there are several factors that came about, why Vault Women came about, but one of the things that we talked about was, what is it in women where we feel like women are holding themselves back a bit?
Mm-hmm.
And actually the talk was about women holding back themselves. Then there's a whole, we know that there's a whole discussion about how the world is, you know, holding back women and, you know, all these things. And actually it was more about taking responsibility as a woman to set yourself free.
Okay.
And one of the things that I was talking to Julie, who's here in Copenhagen, and Clemence, who's in Paris. And the three of us started discussing this thing, you know, because we felt like in some cases that we already pushed ourselves beyond the limitations, but we also felt like we could do much more.
Okay.
And we saw all these women who were doing all these amazing things, pushing themselves, and we saw women who were just opening up, you know?
Yeah.
It was almost like, what is it that running can do? Running being the vehicle of Wim Hof.
Yes.
And it turned out, because it was running for us, but it could be any sport, right? And I think that's something really raw and something amazingly powerful with moving your body, acknowledging, you know, the health and the and all the powers that you can unleash, you know. And this has been in the discussion about female empowerment for a long time, you know, that this, in a way, it must be some masculine power that we have as well, but it becomes the perfect balance of a personality, I think, when you dare to be fully empowered and feel powerful and unleash whatever inner beast you have and be feminine as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this goes for both men and women.
Yeah.
You know, men need to have that caring side. And I've been reading a lot about sports and women where it actually says that because women have that caring side to them, it actually means that they push their competitors a lot because they care about their competitors.
Yeah.
They care that they grow as well because that means that they grow too.
Yeah.
Because it means that they grow their competitiveness, you know, as well. And so this whole idea was a lot about pushing yourself, pushing boundaries. And then we called it Bold Women. We started it as another kamikaze project and needed to see. It was not like we had a set goal, but we wanted to see, wanted to make it grow organically, right? I actually counted the other day. I think there are 12 women now who has our Bolt Lightning tattoo. Like,
wow.
How amazing is that? That people relate so much to this that they go and have a tattoo made. And we relate to it, so that was what we did. You know,
yeah,
the
so
that
three
we
of you did it, right?
Yes.
Three of you got this lightning bolt tattoo.
Yeah, we had this conversation. We went out, had some wine. Actually, it was cider, but friend cider, so it has an alcohol.
Yeah.
We went to a tattoo parlor, got the damn tattoo, and then we were like, okay, let's move from here.
That's interesting, because what you were saying earlier, again, before we started the podcast, I thought it was really beautiful, that this idea of intention.
Yes.
And by putting the intention out there, you're kind of, first of all, telling people about it, and it sort of makes you accountable, but by having a permanent tattoo,
yes,
put on your body, that's real intention.
Yeah. It is. And it's also challenging, it's pushing boundaries for me to not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to not be afraid of just doing this and see where it goes.
Yeah.
I'm a control freak too. Like, I work every day with structures and, you know, making things have meaning and making it easy and whatever. But I needed to also dare to just do this and then see what happens along the way, right?
But I think also what you were saying, yeah, absolutely, what you were saying earlier about it coming from within. And so therefore it's genuine. I think what you're doing comes across as very, very genuine. And so you're...
Just a moment. I have someone knocking on the door.
No problem. what Women stands for. And in five or six posts on Instagram, they post their kind of story and their inspiration and what they fuel themselves with, etc. And it's just really, it is a wonderful thing. And that's why I follow it, to kind of follow those stories. And I would just say that kind of what Nana said, women or man, these are just really awesome people that do awesome things. So it's definitely worth taking a look at. I suppose, are there any... I suppose it's probably a difficult question. I don't know whether you can answer, but are there any stories that you've seen over the that kind of time that have really genuinely touched you in a more profound way?
I think on the sort of back end of the takeovers, one thing that we see is that it's tough to put yourself out there and tell something personal to a big audience. We really wanted to be a personal story and personal engagement, and it's super important. And that also means that people open up in ways that they might have never done, you know. They tell about their upbringing or why they run. And as you can hear, I have a pretty personal story, and it has to do with love and divorce and kids and all these things. And I think... We get a lot of replies back after people have done the takeovers, where they're like saying thank you for giving them the courage to share their life, which is amazing. And another thing is, I think one of the most important things about the takeovers is that we have elite runners. We had Alyssa Montano.
I know, amazing.
Fastest 800 meter runner. And you know, it's just these, we have elite runners doing takeovers, and we have people, Peggy just did a takeover, my friend Peggy, who does shorter runs, you know?
Yeah.
And actually talks about just run, how empowering it is to run 20 minutes every day.
Yeah.
And it's just as powerful for me.
Yeah,
there
I
is
agree.
No difference. And no. And when I think that's one of the strengths that we have. I was in the green room for an event with Sonia Richard Ross.
Yeah.
And she is so powerful. And we were talking about running. Of course, for her, it's on a completely different level. You know? She's, you know, she has Olympic medals. I have laundry. You know, it's just, but we can have a long and wonderful conversation about empowerment of the run.
Yeah. You know,
as a woman to woman talk, as how, you know, goals and training and all these things. It's on different levels, yes, but we're you know, a unit.
Yeah, we're kind of united by it.
Yeah, exactly. And that is such a big, I think that's the strength of both women. To break up some of those very traditional categories as well.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I think that's a really strong point, actually, because in my experience going through it, is obviously there's different cultures and women have different rights and et cetera in different areas. But I remember you had the first Saudi women athlete at the Olympics, and that is hugely inspirational. And I think then, yeah, it creates this sort of very soft, actually, but kind of... And I shouldn't really use the word, but feminist empowerment, I probably should take step away from that. But I think genuinely it does make people realise that kind of anything is possible. If she can do that, then...
Exactly. But also, for me, it's super important to break some of this... to make it even more diverse, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I really try to find... to find women who are in all different parts of the world, right?
Yeah.
Because in Europe, and especially in the US, there's such a tradition for track and field in the US that there are loads of people willing to do a takeover. But of course, when you talk about the US, there's a this diversity talk as well, and Europe too, but also in terms of saying there are other places in the world, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just New York and London and Paris,
yeah,
and where everything is happening. And right now, when you look, I mean, there's a, we have a huge following. That sounds a little bit odd, but in Indonesia, you know, China. It's just, for me, I would love to just meet runners who are in parts of the world where we don't hear about running.
Yeah. You know?
Like the Jeddah Running Collective, who, where the women, you know, there are actually comments when they post women running.
And
there
are comments. Where are they?
They are in Jeddah. And it's just, so there was a race, and I think the problem was that women are not allowed to run if there are no men around. You know, mm-hmm, there's, you know, we have countries where there, you know, where there still is a lot of taboo around physical activities. And,
yeah,
you know, and that's super interesting. Sarah Attar that you just talked about,
yes,
her Saudi female runner. I mean, that was so huge, right?
Yeah.
So huge.
Massive.
Yeah. So I think that's part of it. And for me, as I said in the beginning about bold women, for me it's just, it gives me so much to also find and connect to these people,
mm,
right? There's a, it's a huge, bold women is a true network.
Yeah.
And I just, I see it now spreading in a wonderful way, and we're still growing it organically. We don't, we have jobs and kids and
yeah.
whatever, you know, but it's wonderful to see it grow like that.
Yeah, it is. It is a really, really amazing thing, and I will always be a fan. So, but I think
we're,
equally
we're
because
fans of you.
Sorry,
it's not, I think one of the things that we sometimes I get mails where women write us and say, "How can I become a member?"
Oh,
you know, and it's
yeah.
super sweet, but at the same time, I'm like, "Hey, there's no. This is not a membership. This is a." It's a feeling, and it's almost like someone actually coined it once as a, it's a promise to yourself,
mm.
you know? And that's really beautiful. It's a promise to push yourself, a commitment, right?
Yeah, and I think also it probably helps so many people because, you know, life is never that straightforward and people go through difficult times. And because people are so genuine on these posts,
yeah.
it kind of makes you think, okay, well, and also how open you've been. Like, if you can go through these things and other people have, then actually there's kind of hope. You know, I think it
yeah,
gives people
exactly.
hope.
And as I said in the beginning, the push was really important. You know, and for us, we talked about pushing yourself when it comes to being on the track. And
yeah.
giving the extra plus 10% that you didn't think you had in you. That was the whole point. But we all find out that you know, there are other places, other times in your life where you need to push. Sometimes the push is to hold back and not run, you
mm.
know, to not injure yourself or to make that push, to make that damn CV ready to apply for a new job, you know? And I think that's where it sort of expanded into something more, which is not being afraid, not, you know, holding back, being empowered, not just in the run, but in life in general.
Yeah, I just think it's awesome. And the way it's taken on its own kind of life as well, with you guys behind it, it's just phenomenal. But I wanted to move on to another project. So Nana is just like totally multifaceted and amazing. Because I think you're now doing more, creating more positive change. And I don't know a lot about it, but just sort of following you on social media, I think you're running with a group of refugees that have arrived in Denmark. And you know, in terms of my story, my grandmother was a refugee and that was her journey that I followed. So I just think it's really fascinating and beautiful. But I would just love to know kind of how that started.
Yeah. Well, it's funny talking about these things because suddenly I always get a little tired talking about it. I'm like, oh shit, yeah, I have a lot of stuff going on. So one of the things was after I ran Berlin in the end of September, I kind of, for the first time, that had been a goal for a long time to train for a marathon. Mm-hmm. And I could definitely do better. And I know that my legs are good and my mindset set is prepared to train even more. But the thing is, I also felt like I had sort of outrun that part of running. You know, I'll definitely train for a marathon, but as a project in itself, it lost its nerve a little bit for me. And maybe because it's a very egoistic project, mm-hmm. to train for something that's just for you. And at the same time, the refugee crisis in Denmark has, well, all over Europe, has been so profoundly terrible and very sort of, what do you call that? It's been in the media a lot, right?
Yeah.
And I really, you know, I'm a very extrovert person. I have a lot of energy. I start all these projects and I felt like there's something I could do, you know?
Yeah.
And the problem is I've worked with strategy for 10 years now.
Yeah.
I can set up a strategy for, you know, anything.
Yeah.
Based on whatever research I do. But the thing is, and this leads back to the practical solutions, you know, sometimes you need to do little things. Mm-hmm. Because you can talk and talk and have so much intention, but you need to just do something, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we did with Bold Women. Instead of having a grand plan, we just did it, you know? We got the tattoo. That was almost like,
yeah.
That set it off. And in this case, I was just thinking, okay, I need to work with what I already got. So where I grew up in the forest, there's a refugee camp for unaccompanied kids and youth.
Okay.
And that means that when you come to the country, you don't have your parents and you're under 18, they take you to that. It's a welcome camp, which is a very positive word for a place that, you know, doesn't have as much soul as you would want it to.
Yeah.
And with a lot of very wonderful people, super engaged, but it's still, you know, they come to the country and that's where they go. And they're there 2 to 7 days. And it's just by my mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in the forest and I usually go and run there when I'm there. So I wrote them and I just said, hey, I run in the forest. I know the forest really well. Could this be of any use for you? I'd love to just swing by and run with a group. If you're interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also wrote, I don't want to be a bother, you know? I don't want to be like it's not true, you know, whatever emergency tourism or whatever it's called. For me, it was just an idea. And if it's too much bother for mm-hmm. you, then we'll figure out something else. And then one of the really enthusiastic volunteer organizers wrote back and he said, hey, I'm a runner too. I do set up runs. Sometimes I would love to get some help. And so I went there to just have a meeting and I was in my running gear. And 5 minutes after we had, I think, 10 young boys ready to run in the forest. And we just did we had a little 4K course, and sometimes we run it a couple of times, and I haven't been there as much as I want to. I wish I lived closer, but I've done it, you know, 5 times or something like that now, and it's amazing. I'm almost embarrassed that I get so much out of it, because it's just amazing to talk to someone who just arrived from the journey of their life,
yeah,
from Afghanistan or Syria, and to be able to take them through the forest and smile and laugh and run and use your body and not worry about anything for a while. It's an exchange of energy, and it's really, really wonderful. And it's more than just, it's about giving and not about developing yourself, right? So
yeah.
I'm actually, today I'm going on a Red Cross leadership, volunteer leadership course.
Okay.
To just hear about how to expand an idea within the organization. And as all the other stuff, I don't know where it's going to go, but I definitely want to do more of this. So I have loads of ideas, but I'll take it one step at a time.
Amazing. I think what's really nice about this is that it's like you say, I think sometimes we have ideas, and what stops us doing them is the fact that we don't have this big strategy, we don't have this vision. And so if we don't have that, then there's actually no point in starting. And I think it's a really brilliant lesson in just learning by doing.
Yeah.
And
so with this, I'm connected to Hess, who's a runner in Amsterdam.
Uh-huh.
And we have this as a sort of a joint project where we call it Move Something.
Sorry?
And that we call it Move Something.
Okay.
So, of course, this is all about how you can use running for something more than moving your own ass out of the couch. Right?
Okay, I like it.
And we're building that right now as an idea. And that's a grander idea that has different elements to it. And we're trying to figure out what those are.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs with a group of refugees in Amsterdam.
Okay.
And I already have, I'm connected to a runner in Budapest and some runners in Berlin. And if this could be something more than just Denmark and Amsterdam, that would be wonderful.
I think it's really positive as well in terms of having positive stories around this, around the refugee crisis, because a lot of, you know, what's in the press at the moment isn't positive in terms of what's happening in Denmark and here and a lot of places. So the more we can galvanize positivity and compassion and helping and...
Yeah. So it's both moving your body, it just makes you more happy. It gives you energy to overcome, you know, things. But it's also a way to connect. If you can connect a local community through running, like I am connected to seriously the whole world, which is so overwhelming and beautiful. But it's people who do all kinds of stuff, and we're connected because we run. And you have probably tried this as well, where you're seated at some dinner party next to someone, and suddenly you realize you're both runners, and it doesn't matter if this is the CEO of whatever company or someone who's like a young student. If you run, you suddenly have a joint, like a point of reference, you know? You have something in common. And then from that, you start being interested in listening to each other. And that conversation could change a lot of things, right?
Totally. It almost equalizes. Everyone should be equal anyway, but it does. It creates like an equal level playing field that we're all in, and we're all going through our challenges within that.
Yes, exactly. So that's where I am. I'm going to take the train today and going on this course, and part of it is also hearing. I mean, you were connected to Red Cross, the UK for your run, and so it's also to hear about their work and what is possible, but also there's time for you to sort of help build your idea.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm really looking forward to it.
Really, really exciting. And I love all of the projects that you get involved in. And as I said at the beginning, you know, it's kind of, yeah, okay, you have your own sort of objectives, as we all do in life, actually. But I really like your approach to life, actually, generally.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it's really chaotic.
and to creating this positive change, I just think it's so... I really love it. And it's what I kind of love about sport, is that it's not... that it breaks down barriers, and I think it's a very human as a concept, and breaks down the concept of the other and makes us all human beings. And I think in this day and age, I think that's really important, because there's a lot of things that are trying to make us see people as the other and break that down. So I just think bringing humanity together is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So, yeah, I think Nana's taught us a lot of amazing stories about life, and she does a wonderful job of juggling all of her amazing responsibilities, and is obviously very successful professionally as well, so a huge kind of inspiration to me, and I'm sure others. I'll put all the links on the website, but if people want to kind of follow you on social media, how do they find you?
Yeah, so my name is Nana Monika. And that's my Instagram handle as well. And then there's Vote Women on Instagram too. And that's basically it. That's where I roam. I use Instagram a lot, actually. And I'm also on Facebook and, yeah, all sorts of procrastination platforms. But do check in on the Vote Women Takeovers each Tuesday. It's going to be great.
Yeah, so, exactly. I definitely recommend it.
We have another elite runner coming up, which will be really interesting as well.
So, super. That is amazing. So thanks very much for your time. I genuinely appreciate it. And it's just been awesome speaking to you. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for inspiring me to want to run around the globe.
Thank you for inspiring me.
Let's meet up at some race that's not in 30 degree heat.
Yeah, I think that would be a really beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks again. Speak soon.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Nana. I know I certainly did. From her humble beginnings with running to experimenting with different things, and then this amazing kamikaze 100 kilometer run. And I just love the way that running has helped her become more fearless in life. I also really like the way that she sees issues and problems and comes up with solutions that she just announces an intention, gives it a go, and kind of sees what happens with it without letting the fear of starting getting in the way. And I think that is a really powerful message in itself. I love her approach to life. I love how honest and genuine she is, and her real enthusiasm for everything that she does. So Nana, thank you so much for being on the podcast. As usual, all of her links in relation to contacting her or following her on social media and other interesting links are available on the livebeyond.co website. So it just remains for me to say thank you again so much for listening, and we'll be back shortly with a new episode. Many thanks. Bye-bye.